I'd like to share a familiar scripture, but it's been an inspiration to me this week. In the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, but were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. I'd like to drop on down to verse 27. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Just thinking about how Jesus gave this instruction to his disciples, and this is a big job. To not let our hearts be troubled, or he said, neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. I was thinking about how that we have a choice of what we're going to focus our attention on. You know, we can focus our attention on the giants. We can focus our attention on our insufficiency, which probably all of us have some insufficiencies somewhere. I do. You know, we can look at those things, and those things produce fear, doubt, and worry. They make the heart afraid. They make the heart troubled. Or we have a choice to believe in God's care, in God's love, in God's goodwill. And that produces rest, produces calm, produces faith. You know what we focus our attention on. Now I want to say life is life too. But I believe it's important for us to try to exercise ourselves in this, with this verse, this scripture. There's a verse in 1 Peter I'm going to get. It's also part of the Bible too. First Peter first chapter. Did I write down the wrong verse? I was looking for the verse. I'm in the wrong book. That helped me if I got in the right book. I wanted to start in 1 Peter, the first chapter and the third verse. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. But he talked about here, he said, if now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That's trouble or difficulty or hardships. And he talks about the trial of your faith. You know, there are times that we're in trouble. There's times when we're tried, difficulty. There's times that we're heavy in heart. But we want to exercise a faith, a confidence that God has our best interest at heart, that He has goodwill towards us, and in the love of God, and to believe in the love of God. And I believe there's another verse that talks about the Lord doesn't afflict the children of men, does it say willingly? It's not like the Lord is just trying to put some roadblocks in our path. I believe everything that God does, there's a purpose. I believe He has a purpose in the things that touch our life, though maybe we don't see, and maybe we don't know, and many times we don't understand. Sometimes it seems like it's easier to see in someone else's situation than it is in our own. But I believe the Lord does have a purpose in the things, and He talks about the trying of our faith. You know, our faith, Job's faith was tried. He believed in God. He trusted in God. He gave his heart and life to God. Job was a man, he loved God. He was an upright man. He made good choices in his life. But things, you know, happened to Job that Job didn't understand. Job didn't comprehend. And, you know, it's hard for us in our flesh to see that also. But Job, you know, he held on to that concept, that idea that God is good, that he loves, that he cares. But his faith in God, I'm sure his faith was tried. I'm sure he had questions. I'm sure he had doubts and fears. And I believe that's what it's referring to, the trial of our faith. What we believe. What we believe God to be. Who we believe that He is. What we believe that He can do or won't do. The deepest core of our relationship with Him is going to be tested. It's going to be tried. The trial of our faith. There's going to be things that come against that. So, I know there's heaviness. I know there's trials. I know there's burdens. But we want to do our best to believe in the goodness and the love of God, and to keep our hope and our trust in Him, and to keep our faith in Him. And I know Job was so glad. After the thing was all said and done, I'm glad Job looked back and thought, "I'm glad I didn't take my wife's counsel that time." That was bad counsel. She said, "Just curse God and die. Give it up." But Job held on. He held on to the goodness of God, the love of God. And we want to do the same thing. We want to hold on to faith. And our faith grows stronger as we go through different things and God sees us through, helps us through. Our faith gets stronger. Our faith grows more and more in the love of God. I don't know if we'll ever get to the place in this life where our faith won't be tried. I doubt if we will. But there's a purpose, and God allows things. I want another scripture, and James brings this thought out. In James, the first chapter, in the first verse, he said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." You know, there's something about trials, difficulties that, you know, in our flesh we don't like them. And you know what I was thinking? My wife called that song "Deeper and Deeper." Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus. Deeper, deeper, let us go. Well, sometimes it's through difficulties that we get deeper. It's through troublesome times that put us on our knees, that cause us to recognize our great, great dependency upon God, upon His favor, upon His help and His blessing. But we want to continue to trust and have that faith and believe in the goodness and the mercy of God. I know there are a lot of people in the world today that they kind of laugh and they'll point out, "Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why was this child born this way? And why was, you know..." I don't have all the answers to all those questions. I would never attempt to even try to go there. But it's very vital for us to believe in the love of God. It's going to be an anchor to us. Not that just God loves the church, that God loves people, but that He loves me. He loves us in a personal way, not just a number of numbers like we are. We're one of many. But God loves each particular member. And He has a special invested interest, and He has a design and plan to help us to make heaven our home, I believe. I don't know what I need to make heaven my home, but the trying of our faith, this is to help us get to heaven. I don't know exactly what I need, but I believe God does, and I believe I have to trust Him when things don't make sense, when I don't understand, when it looks like he's not love. You know, sometimes it looks like he doesn't answer. Sometimes it looks like he doesn't care. That's the trying of our faith. We want to continue to hold on to God and believe in His goodness. And, you know, the scripture there, I believe it talked about, you've seen the end of the Lord. See the end, that He is pitiful, full of mercy. He was that way with Job. He was full of compassions, and He just lavished Himself on Job after Job's trial. But Job, one place he said He'll bring me forth as gold, as tried gold, that's tried in the furnace. And so I believe the Lord works in our lives. I believe He works through these things, just like the potter's hands fashion and mold the clay into the vessel, into the image that He wants, that He desires. And I want to be able to trust Him in doing that. So it's important for us to believe and trust in the living God and to hold on to faith. I wanted to read a tract. I've read this before, but it's been a blessing. It says, "Today is the best thing you have in this world. Today is your Savior. It is often crucified between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow. Today you can be happy, not yesterday nor tomorrow. There is no happiness except today's. Most of our misery is left over from yesterday or borrowed from tomorrow." Boy, isn't that true? That is so true. Most of our misery comes over from leftovers from yesterday or a fear about tomorrow. Most of keep today clean. Make up your mind to enjoy your food, your work, your play. Today anyhow. In whatever situation, whatever circumstance, Paul talked about, I've learned to be with content. Learn to enjoy the simple pleasures of conversation, the simple beauties that we have every day that we can enjoy. God wants us to be able to look at those things. He says you can do anything if you'll go at it a day at a time. If you're betrayed, heartbroken, why take a day off? One day will not matter. Today, put away your festering thoughts. Today, take some simple joys. Today, be a little happy in the sunshine. You can do it. It's the burden of the coming days, weeks, years that crushes us. The present is always tolerable. Whoever planned this life of ours did it well in giving it to us one day at a time. We don't have to live it all at once. Thanks be. And I agree with that. Thanks be. One day at a time. We've only got to get through till bedtime. Every morning we are born again. Why let life oppress you? You don't have to live your life, only a day of it. Come, let's finish our small task manfully. It's not long. Don't let life mass against you. Attack it in detail, and you can easily triumph. You know, that's one thing sometimes when you sit back and you look at something monumental in front of you, it's just one little piece at a time, it seems like, is progress. Sometimes it feels like it maybe it's too slow. But if we can just get something done today, and those little days add up, and after a while, you see that something, that there's been progress made. The past is what we make of it. And that's this is a pretty important thought here. I believe it's scriptural. It says, it is the temper of the present that qualifies it. The past is what we make of it. You know, when we've, especially when we've made failures in our lives and we've come short of our ideals or what we wanted, we can learn from that. God doesn't want us to get crushed under that. He wants us to be able to learn from that and grow in that area. It depends upon how you now consider it, whether it brings you despair or encouragement. Don't let the past unman you, benumb you with remorse, weaken you with self-contempt. And Paul talked about that. He said, putting behind those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are before. Sometimes we, with regret, have to say, I'm sorry. I failed on that point. By the grace of God, I'm going to do better. But I'm going on. I'm going forward. I want to walk into tomorrow believing in the love of God. Believing that He's going to guide me. Believing He's going to help me. The poet says we rise by stepping on our dead selves. And as for the future, the best preparation for it is an unafraid today. If you are to die tomorrow, the best way to be ready is to discharge faithfully today's duties and to enjoy heartily today's simple pleasures. Today is yours. God has given it to you. All your yesterdays He has taken back. All your tomorrows are still in His hand. Today is yours. Take its pleasures. Be glad. Take its pains. Play the man. Today is yours. Just a little strip of light between two darknesses. Use it so that at its close you can say, I have lived and loved today. I wanted to read a few lines of a song that we have. This song's kind of been ringing in my heart over the last few days. 258 says, let not your weary heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. Verse 2, it says, let not your peace in calm assurance be ruffled by the storms of life, but soldier like with firm endurance, just glory in the holy strife. Let not your hope be dimmed with doubting, let not life's burdens foil your grace, but in each conflict victory shouting, like he who runs to win a race. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You know, they were, the disciples, they were troubled, and there in Peter, the scripture we read says we were regained to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, I believe the Lord can still, He still does that in our trials and our difficulties. He can allow us to be resurrected in our spirit, in our heart, in our mind. He can allow us to be, even though we go through heaviness, times of temptation, times of difficulty. I'm so thankful when Kent notified us and said they're being released. Oh, I was praying, thinking we might lose another grandchild. And so I've got two little ones that can carry on the Wilson name now. Two. not a big strand, but there's two. And I'm glad the Lord let it be two, not just one. We're thankful for that. But let's keep our faith. Let's let not your heart be troubled. There is trouble. There is heaviness. There is sorrow. But let's dwell on the goodness of God. Dwell on the love and the mercy. And when you think about the past, all the things that the Lord has brought you through. It seemed like I was reading a scripture the other day that was bringing out all the care. I did this for you and I did that for you. And you know, the children of Israel, when he was wanting to take them into the land of Canaan, that's all they saw was the, most of them, that's all they saw was the giants. That's all they had their minds on, except for Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb, they believed and trusted in the goodness of God. They believed the Lord wanted to take them into that good land. And I believe it's that way for us in our lives too. I believe it's that way spiritually. You know, when we get a hunger in our hearts for more of God, that we want to get closer to Him, that we want to be more in His presence, that's a good land. But I believe the Lord can take us in to those places. He can satisfy that yearning in our heart for Him. But we need to believe in His goodness and believe in His love and believe in His favor and His help. And I believe the Lord will see us through. He'll help us. That. So I wanted to temper this message. We can let not your heart be troubled. It sounds so, on the mountaintop all the time, but it's not that way. Life is not that way. There's battles, there's burdens. But let's still try to exercise that deep faith in God, that He cares and He loves and He wants to see us through. I believe the Lord wants to see us through to the end of a Christian life with victory. He wants us to more than we want to, I'm sure. He wants us to be able to be in His presence and to be filled, to be able to make heaven our home. So let's continue to trust Him, believe in Him, hold on to faith, hold on to the promises of God. And I believe the Lord will make a way for us. Appreciate your attention this morning.